President Marie, Ms. Salmon, good friends. I'm so happy today to have the opportunity of coming here to share my little testimony along with these fine men in this wonderful meeting here today. You know, a while ago when Dick Hall talked about the fact that one day the home mission board and through the Annie Armstrong offering, as it came to be later, it even helped to do things in Texas, I thought, well, that's a wonderful thing. And now Texas come back and gives you the present Woman's Missionary Union and many other fine things indeed. We're very proud of Marie over in Texas, and we're glad to share her with all the land. What a wonderful blessing to be here today to share in the wonderful spirit of this particular meeting. Indeed, you know, my friends, when I think about these two offerings, I think about the alternate beats of the human heart, because indeed they might well represent that. It is good to respond to the invitation, therefore, to share in this form of testimony and to speak a word, a good word today for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. In fact, when I was asked to say this little word of testimony, the friend said, you might want to pray about it and tell me a little later on. And I said to Marie, I can just tell you now that I am breathing a prayer of gratitude for the privilege, and I want to give my little testimony. I guess I'd like the young fellow who got a call to a church one day, his very first one, and so he said, frankly, he had accepted before the call came. And before the invitation came, I had accepted the invitation in my heart to say a good word for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It makes me think of the dear old lady who said to the young preacher one day, be sure to put in a good word for Jesus. And I am delighted today to put in a good word for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Indeed, what I have to say will be largely in the form of a testimony, our own experience in our own church yonder at home. I think about what one little girl said to her mother when she said, well, mother, after all, when we do anything for Jesus, we're really not doing it. Jesus is doing it through us. And I have a little fear in bringing the testimony today, lest someone will think that we are speaking in a vein of braggadocio, but that is not our spirit today. If we've been able to do anything at all along this line or any line, Jesus has done it through us, and we rejoice in it all and give him the glory. I want to say to you, I have a conviction that there is no conflict between the Lottie Moon offering, or for that matter, the Annie Armstrong offering, and our total cooperative program. I have a little fear in my heart, frankly, that in some quarters there are those who have a fear that with the increasing receipts of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, our cooperative program may be injured, it may be hurt. I'd like to say that is not the experience that we have had. In our own church, 14 years ago, when we went to that community, we found the church was giving something like $11,000 a year to the Lottie Moon offering, and only about $12,000 or $15,000 to the cooperative program. It was a record we were not proud of, and the church had very little property. Our old building in the downtown part of the city was somewhat of temporary structure built during the ministry of Dr. W.R. White, seating 1,600 or 1,700, but very temporary, and they stayed there for many, many years. And because of the great need in a growing city that has come to be a community of some 150,000 persons now, and our budget going up to $600,000 this current year, with a goal of $100,000 undesignated, and we're not quite there yet, we at the same time have been able by our stewardship program to build a little better than $2 million in buildings, and we have the third program, which will be our fourth building, to be delivered in December of this year, $1 million program. And during this time of building the local program, which had been neglected for so many years in our growing community, we've been able to see the Lottie Moon Christmas offering come from a very small sum to average better than $25,000 per year. And the wonderful thing about it all is the fact, Miss Salma, that it has not in any way impaired the gifts for the cooperative program. In fact, as we have grown in the offering for our foreign missions, we find that our program has grown for the total program of Baptists through the cooperative program. And I'm glad to say today that I do have a basic conviction that the cooperative program is and will continue to be the basic line of our support. But I do not share that feeling that with the increase of the Lottie Moon offering, this great total program will be impaired. It has not been our experience at all, nor the experience of others who have along the way emphasized the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The fact of the business is a great annual emphasis upon foreign missions will do many things for the hearts of the people and for the total program of the kingdom of God. You know, we do not need to worry about people giving too much. I'm a little afraid of the pastor or the deacon group or the church that's always trying to protect the people. I'll tell you, the people have long since learned how to protect their own pocketbook. And there's something innately selfish about us, and we'll do that. You need not worry about that matter. It makes me think of the man who was unable to sleep because he had defrauded the government in the matter of his income tax. And so he couldn't sleep at night. And he got up and he wrote a check for $30 to the collector of internal revenue and put it in an envelope with this note and said, "Dear sir, enclosed find my check for $30 for income tax withheld. If I still cannot sleep, I will send the balance." And I have the feeling that in the pocketbooks of Baptist people all up and down the length and the breadth of our country, there are many dollars that really belong to God. And we need not be afraid that because we increase the offering for foreign mission through the Lottie Moon emphasis, we'll anyway encourage people to overgive. Because after all, I believe the Bible not only teaches that we're to give our tithes, but to give our offerings also. Perhaps you have heard of the distressed member of a church that was lagging behind in the matter of his stewardship. And so the friend wrote a letter to Horace Greeley and said, "Dear editor, our church is in dire financial distress. We have tried box suppers and quilting parties and bazaars, and yet our people will not support our church. Do you have any suggestion?" And the editor published the letter and put beneath it this simple little note: "Try religion, brother. Try religion." And I want to say it's simply good religion to preach a total program of stewardship that calls for tithes and offerings. And we give our people the challenge to do a great thing through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Some months ago, I was driving into the city of Lubbock after a speaking engagement some miles away, and it was late at night. And to keep awake, I turned the car radio on for a little while, and I heard a man speaking from the West Coast. And he told about a young man who walked into a store and requested a compass. And when he said, "I want to buy a compass," the man said to him, "Sir, we have compasses for drawing circles, but we have none for going places." I thank God that if we will only challenge our people to do the big, the liberal thing through our world mission program, through the cooperative program, at the same time give a good hearty church-wide emphasis to the Lottie Moon offering. By so doing, we have a program not just for going in treadmill fashion in circles, but we have a program that will go places. And I'll tell you, when I think about the condition of our world today, particularly as reflected in the awful crisis yonder at the summit meeting that's apparently already collapsed yonder in Paris, it seems to me that instead of trying to protect the pocketbooks of people and to limit these offerings, we ought to be putting out a challenge the like of which we have never given to our people to give generously, sacrificially. It would seem we're already very later than we think in our world. I would like to say just a word finally about the promotion of this offering. I think for one thing, we ought to make it a church-wide offering. We ought not to put it off in some corner and leave it only to the Great Woman's Missionary Union. And I'm like Dot here. I belong to Woman's Missionary Union. And our people out at Lubbock will never hear me make a disparaging remark about Woman's Missionary Union. I boost its total program and attend the meetings when I can. And I'm like one preacher I heard about. He said, "If I didn't have a good Woman's Missionary Union in my church," he said, "I'd take one text, and that is, 'Brethren, fare ye well,' and I'd be gone hunting another." And I tell you, I believe that the secret of this thing is for the pastor to be on fire about the matter and to sit down with his president and the other officers of the church and put it into the church calendar and to give right kind of publicity and promotion and sermonic material and promote it vigorously. After all, we do not leave the promotion of a revival to one segment of our church life. We do not leave the promotion of our budget to one particular element of our church family, but we make it a church-wide appeal. And even so, in view of all the crisis of the ages, and in view of the deepening gloom, and the increasing challenges, and the need and the opportunity of world missions in this kind of a world, it ought to be, my friend, a church-wide offering. And it ought to be given vigorous promotion. by literature and from the pulpit and in the classroom in every possible way. We plan our revivals. Why not plan far in advance for the annual Lottie Moon Christmas offering? I wish every pastor in this convention, even every messenger, could travel out yonder in the world. I have the privilege of preaching out yonder in Hawaii, and I remember very well those years ago when I stood yonder on the campus of the University Church on Sunday morning. I saw several carloads of young people being brought to the church, and I said to Wendell Harris, "Wendell, where did you get these automobiles bringing these young people to Sunday school and to church today?" Wendell Harris said, "These automobiles were bought, these buses were bought with Lottie Moon money, offerings from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering." My wife was telling me a moment ago about a statement made here even yesterday from a friend out yonder in those lovely islands, the paradise of the Pacific. Every piece of precious land in the islands have been purchased with Lottie Moon help. And I say, if our pastors and our people could travel around the world and have the privilege of seeing a chapel built by Lottie Moon here, and a church erected yonder, or a hospital over there, or buses bringing little children with their eager little brown upturned faces to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, we would get behind this offering, and we would see that a worthy thing is done in all of our churches. We plan a world mission banquet in our church in the fall. We engage a speaker a year ahead. We have our brotherhood to dedicate always the program in December to world missions. And we invite members of Women's Missionary Union to be our guests. We had Baker James 1 year and Roger Smith 1 year. And we always make much of that great annual occasion. We have put out in the foyer of our lovely sanctuary some years a beautiful flock Christmas tree, a tremendous one. And on that tree, we turn on a light for every $500 given. 1 year, we found a beautiful display of a large wreath and a map of the world, raised map of the world, a tremendously large thing, hung in a downtown department store window. We bartered that thing and put it in the foyer of our sanctuary. And there we put lights around that marvelous display. And for every $500 given, we turned on a light. By these simple matters of a great annual foreign mission banquet, or by a display in the foyer, by goals, by special Sunday school lessons taught, why shouldn't there be a special Sunday school lesson prepared and distributed to Southern Baptists once a year on the Lottie Moon emphasis? We do it on some other matters. Why not that? And then the preacher ought to give several sermons to the worldwide mission program. And then we can, as we do so, greatly increase our gifts. There will be a corresponding increase to our cooperative program, I doubt not. I think about what the Duke of Wellington said once in reply to the query of a man who said, "What do you think of world missions?" And the Duke of Wellington shot back the reply and said, "Look to your marching orders." And I want to say, we are to look to our marching orders, and we are to call the attention of our people to this primary task of the church and of the kingdom of God. Use the teachers and officers meeting in advance. Plan to distribute the envelopes for several Sundays. Use posters and exhibits. Use some kind of a display. Review the life of Lottie Moon in worship. We were televising a Sunday morning service, December is a year ago, and we gave 8 or 10 minutes of a valuable morning service that was on television for a charming young woman to review the life of Lottie Moon. As a result, a lot of our shut-ins and other people in our town who were not able to be in the worship service got a new vision of world missions and sent in worthy contributions. Use the Dramatics Committee to present the life of Lottie Moon or things of this character. Promote it vigorously. Don't be afraid the people will give too much. They'll take care of that matter. It's ours to give the challenge, and God will give the blessing. Well, in closing, we kidded Marie Mathis a while ago back here. These friends, we told them, Dick and Dot and I told them a while ago that we misunderstood and thought that we had 30 minutes of peace. They nearly fainted. But I'm through. I wish I did, and they wish they had 30 minutes, but I'm closing now with this sentence. An English officer once made a hazardous journey into the mysterious land of Tibet on a vital mission for his government. When asked how he could accomplish such with calmness and assurance, he replied, "The secret is twofold. First, I have been sent by an unimpeachable authority for a purpose which is sound. And second, if I ever get in a tight place, I have the government behind me, which will use all of its resources to see me through." My friends, in presenting the call of world missions expressed through the annual Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we are to remember that we are sent by an unimpeachable authority, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for a redemptive purpose that is sound. And we are to know as we go, we have the promise of Him who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
In addition to the stewardship book, the stewardship play, we have adopted other stewardship goals, which we shall launch at this meeting in the summer conferences and begin to work on in our churches October the 1st, 1961. These are to support the Southern Baptist Convention's effort to increase cooperative program giving, to have an increased number of tithers. And we realize that as we teach tithing and as we enlist more and more tithers, the result is greater gifts to the cooperative program. And then our gifts, our goals with regard to the offerings are a 13% increase in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Annie Armstrong offering. When we first adopted these goals, we decided that the first year it would be an 11% increase, the second year a 12%, the third year a 13%, and so on through the five-year period. There were those who said impossible. There were some people who went about that first year's work with the feeling that the goal was impossible. It should not have been at all, for in other years in the last 10-year period, we have had increases not only of 11%, but even greater. And so we went about our work to raise the first Lottie Moon Christmas offering with an 11% increase, a goal of $6,800,000. We did not reach that goal, but our efforts to reach it brought in a magnificent offering, the largest to date, and we did realize a 10.5% increase. I think perhaps that 0.5%, which we failed to reach, made us realize that we had to put more into the promotion, into the preparation of the offering this past year. And you have heard the glorious announcement already in this meeting of the magnificent Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which was brought in 1959. Now we look to another year. And one thing that you have not heard is the goal for 1960, which was adopted by our executive board on Saturday evening here in this city. And that goal is $8,700,000. Oh, don't you dare sit there and say impossible. For it is possible for us to do that. We are the wealthiest people in all the world. We have 1/2 of all the world's resources right here in the United States. We have not begun to give what we can give. And so let not one of you leave here saying impossible. How are we going to go about raising this goal? Our people cannot understand, we are told, a figure so large as $8,700,000. An advertising man who was brought to speak to a group of Southern Baptist leaders a year ago said a $7.5 million ad leaves the individual with nothing to read. For an individual, the average one has never seen as much as $1,000 at one time. And so you have to break down, said he, a $7.5 million ad. We have to break down this $8,700,000 goal, but we can do it. The churches have never seen $8,700,000. The individuals in the churches have never seen that much. But every church has seen the amount that it gave last year to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And every individual in that church has seen the amount of money that he or she gave to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And so we can start with those amounts and say, set your goals and set them at least 13% higher, for this goal is a 13% increase. We can say to every individual, set for your own personal goal a goal at least 13% higher. And then we can go out in our efforts to reach these who have recently been enlisted, have recently been won to Christ, to get them to come in and give for the first time to this great offering. What then about the Annie Armstrong offering? We do not have the figures yet on the Annie Armstrong offering for this year, therefore no goal has been set. But oh, how we do pray that we will reach our goal of $2,235,000. That offering goal will be set later in the summer, and it will be a 13% increase over the receipts of this year. And so when the time comes for you to make the decision as to your Annie Armstrong offering for next year, you will go about it in the same way, breaking down the goal which we set into church goals and to individual goals, reminding the people on every level that we must increase at least 13%. Oh, we have a tremendous responsibility and a wonderful opportunity as we face this year of stewardship emphasis. As Dr. Lais Meyer spoke yesterday morning, as Mrs. Kim spoke yesterday afternoon, as the missionaries have come before us and have talked about our world, about communism, about all the forces at work in the world, which you and I need to combat with the gospel. Again and again, I have remembered a simple little story. A sixth grade girl wrote to the Washington Post editor and said, "We are studying in school about the world, and we want to ask you some questions. When did the world begin? How did it change? How is it now? What is our relationship to the world? How can we leave it to be a better world for those who will come after us?" Now, the editor was completely overcome by this letter and didn't know what to do with it, so he answered in the very next issue of the Post, and he said, "I can only answer one of your questions, and that is how the world is now. It is terrible." And as soon as he had put that in print, he realized that he had given out an awful dish of gloom to a little sixth grade girl, and he began to think about that thing, and he answered, gave a second answer in the next issue of the paper, and he said, "All the answers to your questions can be found in the Bible, especially in the story of Jesus. The world is a beautiful place." And I have thought about the condition of the world as you have during this meeting. And I have thought about the glorious news that has come to you and me that has never been heard by half the people in all the world. And I have thought again and again as I have looked toward this last session, how can we as individuals do more ourselves and lift our people up to higher levels of giving that those who have never heard the word of Jesus might hear? Oh, how often we sing, "Shall we whose souls are lighted with wisdom from on high, shall we to men benighted the lamp of life deny? Salvation, oh salvation, the joyous note proclaim, till earth's remotest nation has learned Messiah's name." It is within the realm of the possible. Jesus Christ would not have given us a commission, a command, that was not within the realm of the possible. Let us turn from this place with a sense of self-dedication that we as individuals and as leaders in our churches will try to do more ourselves and to lift our people in our organizations to undergird and support the stewardship program of our denomination, which reaches out to open the Word of God, to hold forth the Word of life to people around the world. Before the showing of our film, The Story of Lottie Moon, Mrs. Ward will sing for us, Were You There?